This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Sorry, Phantom.
Okay. So during that New Year's Eve, you were in Aruba for your wife's mother's 70th birthday, correct?
Correct.
And was your brother, Johnny, was he also in Aruba around that same time frame?
Yes.
And your resort and your brother's resort, where were they in relation to each other?
They were pretty much on opposite sides of the island.
And at any point in time when you were in Aruba, did you see your brother at any point?
Unfortunately, we did not.
Now, you mentioned that you were there with your wife and your children. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And do you know who your brother was in Aruba with around that same time?
He was with Karen Reed and brought the kids. So Kaylee and Patrick were with him. They were also with a large group, many other couples and families.
You know who was sort of the primary organizer of that group that your brother was with?
Yes, a friend of ours, Laura Sullivan.
And how did you know Laura Sullivan?
I knew Laura through my brother. She had dated my brother's partner and one of his best friends, Pat Rogers.
And did Ms. Sullivan and Mr. Rogers have a child together?
Yes, and a boy.
And at some point, did Mr. Rogers pass away?
Yes.
What was sort of the relationship between your brother and Ms. Sullivan in relation to Mr. Rogers' child?
Johnny was, so she has a son, Benjamin, who Johnny is godfather to.
And sort of towards the end of your stay in Aruba, with regard to the pandemic, what, if anything, happened to you or any other member of the family?
So my older daughter tested positive for COVID. So her and I kind of got left behind, stayed for an extra 3 or 4 days, I believe.
So after you returned from Aruba, at some point, were you and your brother trying to make plans to connect or to hang out or see each other at some point in January of 2022?
Yes, we were actually planning on getting together on January 29th.
And do you recall what day of the week that was?
That was a Saturday.
And why was it Saturday? Why were you sort of targeting Saturday as a new point?
A weekend, no work. Kids didn't really have much on the schedule.
By that, you mean your kids as well as...
Correct.
Nothing?
Yes.
And then what, if anything, occurred with reference to those plans as far as them coming to fruition or not?
A big snowstorm hit the area. And, you know, we said, hey, maybe it's probably better if we just stay home and off the roads. So we kind of canceled getting together the day before.
So initially had a meeting for the 29th, but canceled it the day before on the 28th?
Correct.
So this snowstorm that you were talking about that was coming in, is that something that you and your brother were aware of prior to that day it happened?
Yes.
And was that something you learned of? Where did you learn about that?
The news.
So sort of all over the news, is that fair to say?
Correct, yes.
And as far as either you, your children, or John's children, for lack of a better term, niece and nephew, were there any sort of planned activities for that day that got canceled because of the weather or no?
On that Saturday, the 29th, I mean, I think everything was pretty much canceled. I don't know anything specific. We had, my daughters had basketball on Friday night, the night before, but we didn't really have any plans for the children on Saturday.
Now, turning your attention to that day of the 28th, so the day before that was a Friday, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And you mentioned that your daughters had basketball that evening, is that correct?
Correct.
And what, if any, role do you have in regard to your daughter's basketball?
I coach both of their teams.
And so you coached two games that Friday night?
Correct.
And about what time do you know that you, if you know, did you sort of get home from all of that?
First game was at 6, second game was at 7:15, so we got home 8:30-ish.
And your wife was with you at both of your daughters' games?
Correct.
And when you got home, had it, the snow that had been predicted, had it started at that point where you were?
I noticed the first flurries sometime between 10:30 and 11 p.m.
And if you know, approximately what time did you go to bed then?
Right around probably midnight.
And your wife, Erin, did she go to bed same time as you?
I think she went to bed a little before me, yes.
Now, earlier in that day, that Friday the 28th, what, if any, conversation by any means did you have with your brother John?
My last communication with him was on a group text exchange that included myself, Karen Reed, and my mother. And he was excited because our niece Kaylee had gotten accepted to Bishop Feehan High School. So he was happy, proud dad moment. And then Patrick's national math scores came back and he scored extremely high, so he was extremely proud of Patrick that day as well.
So he had sort of sent, your brother John had sort of sent that to the group, which included yourself, your mother, and Miss Reed?
Correct.
And your niece Kaylee, as far as what grade was she in and what grade was she going into as far as that application to?
Yeah, so she was eighth grade going into ninth, freshman year in high school.
Now, you go to bed at some point in the evening of the 28th, and you woke up on the 29th. Do you recall what woke you up on that morning?
Yes, my mother called me at 6:40 a.m.
Is that something typical?
No. She called and just said, something happened to your brother. They found him in the snow, and they took him to the hospital.
And which hospital was it?
Good Samaritan in Brockton, Massachusetts.
And at that point, did you, or what, if any, other sort of information did you have as to what had happened to your brother?
I really didn't know much until I got to the hospital. While I was at the hospital, my cousin works 911 dispatch, so she came down because she had heard. And the only thing I was able to get was that, you know, he was cold and they needed to warm him up. But I didn't have much information other than that.
So you get that information from your cousin when you get to the hospital, correct?
Correct.
That cousin, what was her name?
Susanna Hensley.
If I could take you back to just prior. So you initially get the phone call from your mother, Peggy O'Keefe, is that correct?
Correct.
That's about 6:40 in the morning?
Correct.
And your wife, Erin, is with you at that time, is that correct?
Correct.
And so you get that call, and sort of what is it that you do, or sort of how quickly are you out the door?
I jumped out of bed, got changed, brushed my teeth, and I was out the door.
And you drove from your house to where?
Yes, I drove myself from my house to the hospital, Good Samaritan Hospital.
And what kind of car did you have at that point, if you know?
A Toyota 4Runner.
That's a SUV?
That's an SUV, yes.
What color was that?
Black.
And as far as the road conditions, visibility, sort of when you're driving from West Bridgewater to Brockton, what, if anything, did you observe as far as how the roads were?
Driving was very poor that morning and just continued to get worse throughout the day. So it took me longer than usual, than it typically would, to drive that distance.
Now, as far as your parents were concerned, did they come to the Good Samaritan Hospital as well?
Yes, our friend Kerry Roberts picked them up in Braintree and brought them to the hospital in Brockton.
And when you say your friend Kerry Roberts, how do you know Kerry Roberts?
So we grew up in Braintree. She grew up in Braintree as well. 2 years older than me. Knew my brother. They went to homecoming together 1 year. And she also resides in Canton.
So she was someone who had grown up with you and your brother, was friends with you, and also friends with your brother, correct?
Correct.
Now, as far as your arrival at the Good Samaritan, who arrived first? Was it you, your parents, or something else?
I got there first.
And about how long was it, if you know, between the time that you got there and the time that your parents arrived there with the bodies?
Probably about 45 minutes.
And when you arrived at the Good Samaritan Medical Center, where within the facility did you sort of go?
Emergency room waiting area, lobby.
And at some point, did you, after your parents arrived, did you move from the waiting room area to somewhere else within the hospital?
So when my parents arrived, they brought us, you know, in the double doors into like a little family sitting room.
And about how long was it that you were in the family sitting room before you went somewhere else?
So we were in that waiting room. Doctor and nurse came in and told us that all their efforts to save my brother were unsuccessful and that he had passed away. And then asked if we wanted to go see him, in which we said yes. So we left that room and walked down the hallway to his hospital room.
And that doctor you spoke to, do you recall what the doctor's name was?
Dr. Rice.
And when you say that we went down to the room where your brother was that everyone in the group?
It was myself and my parents, yes.
And Miss Roberts, did she go as well, or did she?
No, she stayed out in the waiting area.
And as you were making your way down to the room where they had your brother, what if anything occurred along the way?
So I noticed Karen Reed was there. She was being restrained by hospital employees, and she was screaming out to us, asking if he was alive.
Is that something that she screamed out once, more than once, or something else?
Several times.
Now, at some point you went into the room where your brother was, correct?
Correct.
And can you describe to the jury sort of what you saw as far as your brother was concerned?
I mean, he was pretty banged up. He had his eyes had swelled up. He had a breathing tube in, well, the mask anyway. Blood come down his nose, blood come down his mouth. But what really stood out to me was, you know, the eyes. It was almost as if like there were ping pong balls under his eyelids. They were that swollen.
Now, in addition to what you observed as far as his eyes, what, if any, other sort of injuries did you observe on any other part of your brother's body?
I noticed some markings on his arm. Look at his lower torso area at all because he was, you know, covered by a sheet. So most of the injuries that, you know, we observed was to the head area and face area.
And when you say his arm, do you recall whether that was one arm, both arms, or which arm in particular?
He had markings on his right arm. I didn't notice anything on the other side.
You spent some time privately as a family with your brother. At some point you left, is that correct?
Yes, we were. I would estimate we were probably in the room with him for probably 20 minutes until we left.
And after about that 20 minutes, you come back out to the hallway, and where are you going?
Yeah, we went back to the waiting area, you know, trying to figure out, do we leave? So yes, we left. My mother drove with me. My father drove with Kerry Roberts. We went from the hospital at Good Samaritan in Brockton back to my brother's house in Canton.
And if I could just take you back for a moment. So as you exit the room where your brother is and you come back out in the hallway, what, if anything, occurred at that point?
Again, we saw Karen Reed being restrained by hospital employees, saying, screaming the same things. Is he alive? Is he alive? Is he alive?
You, at any point, either before or after, respond to any of that screaming that you heard from the defendant?
I actually blew her a kiss.
Now, as far as your relationship with the defendant, Ms. Reed, prior to January 29th, 2022, how would you characterize it?
I thought we had a good relationship. I held her in very high regard. I thought she was a good influence on my niece and nephew. I appreciated all the help that she was providing to my brother with the kids. We'd go out together as, you know, couples a couple times. She was became very friendly with my wife, but I'd say overall we had a good relationship.
As far as those positive feelings that you had in relation to the defendant prior to January 29th, 2022, had you expressed those to either the defendant or any member of her family?
Yes. So Christmas Eve of 2021 was the first time I met her parents. My brother hosted Christmas Eve at his house. I met Mr. and Mrs. Reed. I offered to help Ms. Reed, Mrs. Reed carry some things in from her car. And as we were walking to the car, I said, you know, I just want to tell you, I think your daughter's great. I think very appreciative of what she's done for the kids and helping my brother.
Now, turning back to that day of January 29th, you go back out to the waiting area, is that correct?
Yes.
And what, if anything, happened? What did you see or speak to when you got out there?
I saw her father, Bill Reed, come into the hospital. He was picking up Karen as we were pretty much exiting the hospital to head back to Canton.
And did you have any conversation with him?
I did not.
Now, you indicated that you drove with your mother back to Meadows Ave where your brother lived, is that correct?
That's correct.
And Ms. Roberts drove with your father back to the same location, is that correct?
That is correct.
And as far as your understanding, sort of on the drive back, where were the kids? Where was Kaylee and Patrick at that
point? So Kaylee was picked up by Mike Camerano, who's her Kaylee's best friend's father. Patrick was at a sleepover the night before, so he was still with the family at the house where he slept the night before.
And you mentioned that the drive from your house from West Bridgewater to Brockton was somewhat difficult, correct?
Very difficult.
How would you characterize the drive from Brockton to your brother's house in Canton?
I mean, at one point I said to my mother, I don't know if we're going to make it back. Visibility was terrible. Couldn't see the roads. We made it back. It was just very, very difficult. Probably the worst driving conditions I've driven in as far as weather.
And so then at some point, you and your vehicle, Ms. Roberts and hers and your parents, you arrived at your brother's house in Canton, correct?
That's correct.
You know about what time of day that was?
It was mid-morning, so maybe between 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning.
And was there anybody present at the house when you arrived there?
No.
And at some point, did other people come over as far as specifically I'm asking about the children?
Yes, so Kaylee was dropped off shortly after we arrived. And then a little while after that, Patrick was dropped off from his sleepover.
And at some point, you were tasked with informing the children what happened to your brother, correct?
Correct.
At some point after you left the hospital in Brockton, what, if any, conversation or what, if any, phone calls did you receive in relation to the defendant, Ms. Reed?
Karen Reed called me, asked me if it was okay to come over and to see the kids, and I said sure.
And do you know how long that phone call went on for?
It was a quick phone call, maybe a minute. Like I said, she just asked if she could come over, and I said sure. And then she arrived at the house, you know, shortly thereafter.
When you initially arrived at the house, along with your parents and Ms. Roberts in her vehicle, what, if any, other vehicles did you observe sort of in the driveway at that time?
I only noticed, I think, my brother's car. I mean, I don't even recall seeing any other cars. I mean, there could have been a car in the garage, but I didn't notice, really. Nothing stands out.
What kind of car did your brother have?
Chevy Traverse.
What color was that, if you know?
Like gray.
And if you recall, when you first sort of arrived there, where was that vehicle parked in relation to the front?
I believe it was the right side of the driveway, you know, all the way down to the end of the drive, like the top of the driveway.
All right. Now, you had the phone call with the defendant. You indicate it's fine for her to come over. You know about how long it was after receiving that phone call and when Ms. Reed arrived there?
20 to 30 minutes, maybe.
And when she arrived at your brother's house, who, if anyone, was she with?
She was with her father.
And at some point, was there anyone else from her family that came over the house that morning?
Her brother and his wife showed up shortly after she arrived with her father, yes.
And how many cars, if you know, come in between sort of the...
They each took separate vehicles, so two cars arrived.
And Ms. Reed's vehicle, do you know where that vehicle was in relation to your brother's house at that time?
It was either in the driveway or in the garage. I'm not positive.
Okay. So fair to say it was at the house, correct?
It was at the house, yes.
So between the Reed family, there's three vehicles at your brother's house now, correct?
Correct.
Now, the defendant, her mentioned that you had met her father before on Christmas Eve, is that right?
Correct.
Had you met her brother or brother's wife prior to that day?
No.
And you were in the house when they arrived, is that correct?
When Karen and her father arrived, I was shoveling the walkway out front.
And in total, about how much time was the defendant at the house that morning when she came in?
I would probably say about 30 minutes.
And at that point, when the defendant arrived, was either Kaylee or Patrick or both home at that time?
Yes. Kaylee had come home first, and then Patrick had come home. So I think Patrick may have come home while they were there.
And you mentioned when they arrived, you were out shoveling sort of the front walk, correct?
Yes.
And when they arrived, did you go in the house with them, or did you continue shoveling or something else?
I continued shoveling for a very short period of time, and you know, went in the house, like pretty much right after they did.
And when you got in the house, what was it sort of that you were doing at that time?
I mean, we had just told Kaylee what had happened, and we were waiting for Patrick to get home, so we were kind of just congregated in the kitchen.
When you say we, who exactly are you talking
Sorry,
about?
Sorry, myself, my mother, my father.
Was Miss Roberts still there, or has she gone home?
I don't recall.
And so, in addition to yourself, your mother, and your father, Miss Reed, her father, any other sort of members of her family, where were they within the house at that time?
So mainly the kitchen at first. When Patrick came home, we kind of took him to like the side room where the kids hang out, talked to him in that room. And then we were in the kitchen. Then Miss Reed and her father went upstairs.
And when you sat down with Patrick to tell him what had happened to your brother, who, if anyone else, was with you at that point?
Karen Reed.
And at some point subsequent to that, you went back to the kitchen, correct?
Yes.
And where was it that the defendant and her father went?
Upstairs, into the bedroom.
And if you know, about how long were they in the upstairs area of the house?
I would say 10 to 15 minutes.
And them as they came down the stairs?
Yeah, so I was on the phone a few times. So I didn't watch them walk upstairs, but I saw them come downstairs, you know, turn the corner at the bottom of the stairs. She had some of her belongings that she had taken from the bedroom.
And where did she go with those belongings?
They left. Like I said, they were probably there for 30 minutes. They got in their cars and drove back to Dighton, Massachusetts.
And when you say got back in their cars, you mentioned three cars that had been there in the driveway or in the area of the house, correct?
Correct.
When the defendant left, how many of those cars remained?
Zero.
And as far as the weather conditions that you had mentioned that existed at the time that you drove from the hospital in Brockton to your brother's home in Kin, what, if any, improvement occurred with the weather during that time frame?
None.
So essentially the same, is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was still, the conditions were still poor.
Now, with respect to Ms. Reed's vehicle, did you know what kind of vehicle Ms. Reed had?
A Lexus SUV. I don't know the actual model.
Mr. Lally, that clock is actually wrong. It's just about 1 o'clock, so is this a good place to take a break?
Perfectly fine.
Yes. All right. All right, jurors, it's the luncheon break. We'll break for an hour. We'll be here ready to go no later than 2 o'clock.
Court, all right, please. Hold your notebooks, put them on your chair.
All right, Mr. Lally, can we have Mr. O'Keefe again, please?
Yes, sir.
Witness, please.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Thank you, Your Honor. So, Mr. O'Keefe, you testifying before the lunch and recess before, you had indicated that Ben and Ms. Reed had gone upstairs for some period of time. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and that's at your brother's house on Meadows Ave?
Correct.
And who, if anyone, had she gone upstairs with?
Her father.
About how long were they upstairs for?
10, 15 minutes.
And as far as, were there anyone else in the upstairs area of the home with them at the time that they were upstairs?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Now, as far as Ms. Reed was concerned, what, if any, conversation did you have with her while she was at the house for that period of 30 minutes or so?
None, really.
And as far as any other members of her family, without any reference to what it was, what, if any, sort of substantial conversation, what, if any, conversation did you have with either her father, her brother, or the brother's wife?
Again, none, not really. I didn't really have much interaction with any of them while they're at the house.
Now, you're obviously familiar with your brother's house on Meadows Ave, is that correct?
Yes.
And as far as the house itself, what, if any, sort of security did your brother have installed on that house on Meadows Ave?
He had a ring. He had a ring doorbell, and then a ring camera floodlight combination above the garage doors, overlooking the driveway.
And when you say the doorbell, how many sort of points of how many doors or entrances into the house were there?
With cameras, I would say two. I mean, the driveway and then the main front door of the house.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Yes.
I'll show you just three photographs. Exhibits 2, 3, and 4. If you could just look at those briefly and look up when you finish. And generally speaking, sir, do you recognize what's depicted in those three photographs?
Yes. The first.
Before we get to them, just in general,
yes.
Do you recognize those?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you recognize this them in general terms? What do you recognize them to be photographs of?
That's my brother's house at 1 Meadows Ave in Canton.
And, Ms. Gilman, if I could have Exhibit 2 up on the screen. Sir, I'm going to shift my approach again, Your Honor.
Yes.
I'm going to hand you here as a laser pointer, basically just click this button here.
Okay.
And again, sir, what's up on the screen is exhibit number 2. What are we looking at here?
That's my brother's house at 1 Meadows Ave in Canton.
And as far as the ring doorbell camera that you were referring to, is that something that's visible in this photograph?
Not in that photograph, no.
And so typically when you would come over to your brother's house, what would be sort of the general points or door that you would use to go inside the house?
So either the garage door or there's a side, side door right behind that bush.
So behind that bush, is there any sort of like walkway or anything like that over there?
Yeah, so there's a walkway that leads up to a couple of steps and then to the entryway.
Is that where the ring doorbell would have been located, labeled as sort of the front door?
Yes.
And the garage area with the driveway that you were referencing in relation to this photograph, it's not depicted in this photograph, is that fair to say?
Correct.
Okay. So which sort of, with relation to this photograph, understanding that it's not depicted in it, where would that be?
The driveway would be to the right side of the house as we're viewing it from here.
And if I could turn your attention to the next exhibit, number 3, Ms. Gilman, if I could have that. And what's up on the screen, is that what you have before you as exhibit number 3?
Correct.
Okay. And whereabouts in relation to the house, what are we looking at here?
So that would be the driveway, right side of the house, two garage doors, the upstairs window, and the ring camera / floodlight combination.
Now, with respect to the garage, was there a particular way that your brother would have kept sort of the garage area?
Yeah, he had on the left side, he had a 1971 Ford LTD parked over that side. And he would typically park his car on the right side.
So the car that you were talking about before, that being the Chevy Traverse, is that correct?
Correct.
And so the floodlight combination with the camera, that you see that in this photograph, is that correct?
Yes.
If you could, just using the laser pointer, direct the jury's attention to that.
Right under the window.
Thank you. And as far as these particular ring cameras, driveway, garage one, and the front door, the sort of side entryway there. Who, if anyone, as far as you knew, had access to those particular cameras? How would they be accessed?
Most likely through the Ring app on your cell phone. And I believe the only ones who had access to was my brother and Karen Reed.
And as far
objection,
as your brother...
Strike.
All right, I'll strike that, see if you can lay a foundation.
As far as your brother was, what, if anything, would he do with reference to those Ring cameras and his app on his phone when people would arrive at his house?
I mean, a few times he'd talk to me through the speaker. You know, if I pulled up to the house and he wasn't home, and he would speak to me on it, but I'm not sure if I follow the entire question.
No, and that's exactly. So there were points where you would come to the house, correct, and he wasn't there?
Yes.
Okay. And he would sort of talk to you through the Ring application, is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as far as Ms. Reed was concerned, when you say you believe she had access to it, what leads you to believe?
I believe the kids had mentioned it before. Kaylee and Patrick, mostly Patrick.
All right, I'm going to strike that.
Now, if I could direct your attention to the next exhibit before your exhibit number four. And again, sir, what's up on the screen? Is that what you have before you as exhibit four?
Correct.
And if you could describe to the jury sort of what part of the house we're looking at here and what, if anything, in relation to the ring that you observe here.
That is also the driveway from a different view. Call it the top of the driveway looking down onto the street. Right in this picture here, the ring camera or the floodlight ring is not visible.
And the walkway that you were talking about that was behind the bush, do you see that in this photograph?
Yes.
Okay, if you could direct the jury's attention to where that is. So if you follow that walkway sort of around to the bush, where does that lead?
Right to the breezeway door.
If I may approach this.
Yes.
Now, Mr. O'Keefe, the Ring camera that we're talking about, have you seen those on like a disc form? Is that correct?
Have I seen them on a disc form? I'm not sure if I follow that question.
Sure. Have you viewed any Ring camera footage from either the front door or the driveway to your brother's house?
No. Okay. I didn't have access.
Okay. Now, you want to maybe approach?
Yes. All right, so Mr. Lally, you have something to mark as an exhibit?
Yes, Your Honor. So there are two discs, one labeled Meadow Ave Ring Videos. Oh, sorry.
So they've already been marked?
Already been marked.
All right, so the next, go right ahead.
Nope. Okay. So...
And let us know if you want the lights dimmed at all, Mr. Lally.
Yes, please, Your Honor.
Do you want that now?
Yes.
Would please? Thank you.
So, Ms. Gilman, if I could have from what's been marked as Exhibit 6, the driveway camera. If I could have video number 161. And if you could just pause that just for a moment. Now, Mr. O'Keefe, what's up on the screen there? Do you generally recognize what's depicted there?
It looks like Karen Reed's vehicle, my brother's vehicle, and it looks like another SUV behind it. I don't know the two people.
If you could, just using the laser pointer before, if you could just direct the jury's attention to which vehicle you're talking about when you... So starting with Ms. Reed's vehicle, where is it in this video that you observed that?
I believe it's that one right there.
And your brother's vehicle?
Is back there.
And the vehicle you're referring to is your vehicle? Where is it? And if you know, when about is this video depicting in relation to what you've described as the events of January 29th?
That would be in the morning, coming back from the hospital, mid-morning.
And as far as the people within this video, do you recognize any of the people within?
That'd be myself. I believe that behind me could be Kerry Roberts, because I believe that's Kerry Roberts' car. She drove my father back from the hospital to One Meadows.
And Ms. Stillman, if you could just run the video.
Oh, that's my mother.
Ms. Gilman, from the same exhibit, if I could have go mark 165. Again, Ms. Gilman, if you could just pause that briefly. Now, with respect to this video, do you recognize the vehicle that just pulled into the driveway here?
That looks like Karen Reed in the photo, on the video. I assume that's her father's car.
So this would have been the time that Ms. Reed, the defendant, arrived with her family from the hospital as well?
Correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could just run that through. If I could ask for the next labeled video from Exhibit 6, number 166. Gentlemen, if I could ask you to pause there. Now, Mr. O'Keefe, with the last video, the two individuals sort of walking over to the house, do you recognize who those were?
Yeah, it appeared to be Karen Reed and her father.
And the individual who just got out of the same vehicle, do you recognize that person?
That appears to be Karen Reed's brother, Nathan.
And again, this particular day, January 29th, at your brother's house, that's the first time that you met him, is that correct?
Correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could just play this one again. Ms. Gilman, from the same exhibit number 6, if I could have video 169. Just there for a moment, please. Now, as far as you mentioned earlier in the testimony that after Ms. Reed arrived at the house, that your nephew Patrick came home as well?
Correct.
And do you see your nephew Patrick in this video up on the screen now?
Yes.
So this would depict when he got dropped off, essentially?
Correct.
Ms. Gilman, if you could just run that, please. Ms. Gilman, from the same exhibit 6, if I could have number 176. Pause that right there. Now, from this video, you referenced early in your testimony, Ms. Rita gathered some belongings and then had left with all of the vehicles that her family came with, correct?
Correct.
And do you recognize anyone depicted in this video, number 176?
That's Karen Reed.
And what, if anything, do you observe in this video her to have in her hand at this time?
Looks like some type of a bag.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could just play this one through. Now, Ms. Gilman, if I could have from the same exhibit 6, number 178. I could ask you to just pause right there. Now, Mr. O'Keefe, you were at your brother's house on Meadows Ave for a majority of that day. correct?
Yes.
Okay. About how long were you there into the evening?
Yes.
And at some point were attempts made in and around your brother's house, the driveway, the walkway, things of that nature, as far as snow removal was concerned?
At one point, other than me shoveling, Patrick's friend's father came with a snowblower.
And so initially it was you shoveling, what if anything was your father doing while you were shoveling as well?
It was just me shoveling.
And you recognize what's depicted up in this video as far as any individuals in this video?
I believe that is me standing there with the shovel.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could just play this. Ms. Gilman, from that same Exhibit 6, could I have video number 185? Ms. Gilman, if you could just pause it right there. Now, in reference to the snowblower coming out, or sort of the friend of Patrick, the father of Patrick's friends, do you recognize anybody in this video here?
I'm assuming that's the father of Patrick's friend, but I'm not sure.
So fair to say this was later in the day after you were out there shoveling and after the defendant had left the house, is that correct?
Yes.
And with regard to that particular day of January 29th, do you recall any law enforcement, whether they be PD or state police, coming to the house while you were there that day?
Not on the 29th, no.
During the course of clearing driveway out as far as snow or ice, what, if anything, did you observe as far as beyond just sort of snow and ice? Were there any sort of other items within the driveway that you recall seeing? Or?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could just play this video through. And lastly, from this exhibit, Ms. Gilman, if you could, from Exhibit 6, pull up video number 239. Mr. O'Keefe, what's up on the screen right now is that essentially what the driveway looked like at the end of sort of the snow blowing and the shoveling and snow removal that day?
Yes.
And that vehicle towards the top, that's your vehicle, is that correct?
Yes.
And is this around the time that you would have been leaving your brother's house on January 29th?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Koros, we can have the lights back up. Thank you, sir. May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Recognize that?
Yes.
Mr. Gilman, if I could have Exhibit 1 up. And Ms. Gilman, if you could just enlarge that a little. Thank you very much. Now, what's up on the screen, Mr. O'Keefe? Is that what you have before you as Exhibit number 1?
Yes.
And what are we looking at in this exhibit?
That's my brother.
And as far as your earlier testimony in regard to the vehicle that he kept sort of on the left side of the garage, what, if anything, do you recognize him?
It's depicted in the picture. It's a convertible 1971 Ford LTD.
And with reference to that vehicle, how did your brother feel about that vehicle?
He enjoyed it. He thought it was fun driving around, in a convertible. Nephew Patrick enjoyed, being driven to baseball games and whatnot in it, so.
And your niece, Kaylee, how did she feel about it?
She did not like it. Still doesn't.
Thank you, sir. May I approach this to retrieve your office?
Yes.
I have nothing for you.
All right.
Mr. O'Keefe, sir, I have no questions for you.
All right, Mr. O'Keefe, you are all set, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. 1 second, Jody.
Your calm up will call Mrs. Erin O'Keefe to the stand.
Officer, the evidence you give the court and jury in the case now and hearing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. You may take this.
Whenever you're ready, Mr. Lally.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. It's Erin O'Keefe. O-K-E-E-F-E.
And where is it that you live now?
West Bridgewater.
And who, if anyone, do you live there with?
I live with my husband, Paul, and our two girls.
And how long have you lived there in West Bridgewater?
Be 10 years this year.
And your girls, how old are your girls?
Now 13 and 10.
And what is your husband's name?
Paul.
And how long have you and Paul been together? How long have you been married?
It'll be 24 years this year and 17 years married this year.
And do you work, ma'am?
I do.
And what do you do for?
Currently, I switch jobs. Currently, I work for a mechanical contractor.
And just sort of in general terms, what type of work is it that you do?
I'm their marketing director.
And you said you switched jobs, so how long have you been doing this sort of new job?
I'll be there 2 years in October.
And your husband, Paul, how did the two of you meet?
I was his waitress in a bar when he was in college.
And as far as your husband, Paul, is concerned, his parents, what are their names?
John and Margaret.
And your husband, Paul, did he have any siblings?
Two. An older sister and an older brother, John and Kristen.
And of the three, John, Kristen, and Paul, who was the oldest, who was the youngest, and what was sort of the age difference between the three?
Kristen was the oldest. Johnny was next. And Paul being the youngest. And Paul's what, 3 years younger than Johnny. Four.
And your sister-in-law, Kristen, she was the oldest, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Was she married at some point?
Yes, her husband, Steve.
Do you recall about when it was that your sister-in-law, Kristen, and Steve got married?
They got married in 2006.
And your sister-in-law, Kristen, and her husband, Steve, did they have any children?
They did, Kaylee and Patrick.
And Kaylee and Patrick, about how old are they?
Kaylee is 16 now, and Patrick is 13 now.
Now, excuse me. At some point, their last name was Furbush, is that correct?
Correct.
And at some point, did your sister-in-law, Kristen, her husband, Stephen, and their children move to the town of Canton?
They did.
And about what time or what year was that?
2009, 2010, I believe.
And if you know, where had they been living previously before they moved to Canton?
They were renting out their townhouse in Abington, so they were living in Dorchester with Johnny.
And if you know, at the time that they were living with Johnny, were both Patrick and Kaylee born yet? Or
just Kaylee.
Just Kaylee. So fair to say she was relatively young at that point?
Yes.
Now, at some point, your sister-in-law, Kristen, got sick, correct?
Correct.
And you recall when about that was that you learned of that?
It was June 2013, beginning of June.
And do you recall what she was sick from or what the diagnosis was?
She was diagnosed with glioblastoma.
And at some point subsequent to that, she passed. Is that correct?
Correct. 6 months later.
Sometime in fall, November 2013?
November 11th, 2013.
Now, at that point in November of 2013, as far as you and the rest of your family was concerned, what was sort of plan or the expectation as far as what was going to happen with the children, Patrick and Kay?
I know that my in-laws were helping while Steve was still here. Steve passed away 2 months later, but my in-laws were helping Steve kind of get acclimated.
And what, if any, role did your brother-in-law, you called him Johnny, is that correct?
Yes.
So what, if any, role did your brother-in-law, Johnny, have with respect to the kids during this time?
He was very involved because he was very involved when my sister-in-law was sick. I think he was out on, he'd hurt his hand or something when he was working out on the, when he was out on the streets, I guess. And so he was on disability and was helping and going to the hospital all the time and being with Kristen.
And you mentioned he was out on disability and that he was working. What was it that your brother-in-law, Johnny O'Keefe, what did he do for work?
He was a police officer in Boston.
Now, you mentioned that shortly after your sister-in-law, Kristen, passed away, her husband, Stephen, also passed away. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so what, if anything, sort of became the plan or what happened with respect to your niece and nephew following their father's death?
Paul and Johnny went out to lunch one day, and we had kind of assumed, because Johnny was out on, you know, the streets doing his job like that, that Paul and I would take the kids, and Johnny said he was going to do it.
So he sort of volunteered or stepped up to do it, correct?
Correct.
And pursuant to that, where did Johnny go to live? Where did the kids live when he did that?
Johnny moved into their house in Canton, the original house that Steve and Kristen had bought. He moved in with the kids there.
And about how long was it that Johnny lived there with the kids, or have assumed that role?
Maybe 4 years, 4 or 5 years. I don't remember the exact year that he bought the new house.
And so they lived there for 4 or 5 years, and then you mentioned that he bought a new house. Where was the new house that he bought?
The new house is the house now on Meadows Ave in Canton.
And so from whenever time Johnny bought that house, he lived there basically with with the kids, Kaylee and Patrick, until he passed away as well, correct?
Correct.
And
more raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.